I'll be honest, I didn't look into it too much, but I'm sure there is. There's got to be something.
There we go. I found one. It's called Soundboard by Ambrosia Software. Welcome to podcast episode 60 of the One More Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Lamb, because Eric Bailey could not be here today.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I will be playing the part of the birthday boy.
My name is Andrew Guerrero. I'm the guy who sometimes updates the WordPress, and I'm broadcasting from my survival shelter.
How is your survival shelter?
It's pretty good. Pretty good. I'm set up in the northern Canadian wilderness.
Nice.
I don't anticipate this cardboard shelter will last.
I was going to say, because the cardboard makes it look super real.
Yeah.
Like, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Totally legit. It's cardboard.
What are you hoping to survive from?
The Americans?
You know. Scary shit, generally. Specifically my showdown pick.
Yeah.
That much confidence, huh?
I only come on here very rarely, and whenever I do, I have to make sure that I'm coming on real strong. I mean, I brought Gex last time.
Well, I will have to say that this is the Halloween crew for One More Podcastle. So it's good to... It's good to get the old band back together.
It's nice.
Yeah. I treasure these times together.
What we're trying to say is you're a Halloween tradition, Andrew.
That's right.
Thanks, guys.
When we wouldn't have it any other
way. So, I brought a Silent Hill last year, right?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Because I remember bringing Silent Hill once.
With your bullshit fog.
So you bring Silent Hill.
I was planning on bringing Silent Hill, and I was like, wait a second.
Too late.
Crap. Can't do that again.
Now, Hunter, it's your birthday tomorrow?
Tomorrow is my birthday, yeah. I will be 28.
Happy birthday. You ancient bastard.
Sucks, man. It's I'm 1 year older. I'll be a little wiser. Starting to get hair in some really weird places.
Nice. Wow. At least you're not the age where you just start losing it all.
Right. No. I'm, if anything, I'm too hairy. I've been told. I've been told I'm too hairy.
That's the general synopsis?
Yes. So, I'm okay with it.
Is it, like, is it affecting your, like, Olympic swimming career? Or?
Since I never had one, yes.
Oh, really badly. I'm sorry.
You're not that Eric Hunter?
No, wait.
Olympic swimmer?
No, I'm Eric Hunter, the gay porn star. That's, yeah.
Oh.
There's a lot of us out there. There's
a lot of money in that.
Oh, yeah. Gay for pay or whatever it's called. I have no idea. Just totally digging my own ditch. Hey, let's talk about video games. You guys want to talk about video games? I'm going to talk about old video games.
Yeah, so what have you been playing there? Yeah, drink that, whatever you're drinking.
I've been, so I was a couple of weeks ago, I said I picked up a bunch of those vertical shoot 'em up things. And I picked up one called Elemental Master for the Sega Genesis. Now, it's not like your traditional in a spaceship flying through space debris and shooting aliens. You're actually a guy on the ground who has magic. And you're like continuously walking north, trying to get to some sort of wizard demon... Save a princess in her heroic plot point here. Gameplay. But it still has like the, you know, like the bullet hell kind of a thing with all the enemies coming down. And if you get all these special moves with magic that you can do to do like a spread shot or to do a single blast or it's actually it's a lot of fun. I don't know if it's like fooling me because it feels more like an actual kind of like a run and gun game, or I just really am starting to enjoy shoot 'em up games. And if that's true, then I am getting old, because that's crazy. That's just crazy. So, but yeah, so Elemental Master for the Genesis.
So you'd recommend it then?
Yeah, I would actually. Like, just for anybody who, like I was saying, because it has like that whole facade of, you know, not being a shoot 'em up, but it is. It's definitely
okay.
It's definitely a shoot 'em up. So
I'll have to look it up.
You will, Andrew.
Yeah.
We were all excited to hear what kind of games you've been playing.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. So I I'm not sure if anyone listening is familiar with Toronto, but I found this crazy tiny indie game store in on College Street.
Right.
So it's like right by the university, for you, Eric, who has no idea what I'm talking about. It's right by the university, but it's this guy. He has, it's like 2 meter. Like a couple, just a couple meters across, and he's got a stool and a desk, and the walls are just lined with games.
That's awesome.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I picked up Wipeout 64 and Lion King for the Genesis, because
nice.
I played the Wipeout. Yeah, it's friggin' hard as hell. But oh, why are you giving me a face?
Who? Who's giving you a face?
What's going on? Who's giving faces to Andrew? Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Cut it out.
Own up.
Jeez.
I said, I was like, oh yeah, Lion King. It's
no,
hard.
No.
And Hunter just gives me this like sour face, like, what are you talking
about?
Well,
I don't remember being that hard, but it was a difficult game, yes. Yeah. And it wasn't due to like broken game mechanics or anything like that. Like, it was just a legitimately tough game, you know?
It's kind of crazy how, like, there's a whole bunch of those licensed Disney games that came out around that time that were just really, like, everyone, like, really enjoyed them, like the Aladdin game, despite the fact that you just throw apples at people to kill them, which is kind of weird.
Well, you got your sword.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, come on. The apples are way more effective.
Yeah, but you have a limited supply of them. See, that's the thing. You know?
Yeah, I guess.
You have a limited supply. You gotta contain and control the amount of apples you're tossing. It's like, I mean, even Little Mermaid for the Genesis was a pretty damn good game as well. You know, not the NES version. That one was awful. But the Genesis version was actually, it wasn't bad. Like, it was another one of those really cool licensed games from Disney, along with, you know, the Mickey Mouse games and Donald Duck. And did you ever play the Goof Troop for the Super NES?
Nope.
Yeah, I haven't played it either.
It's kind of like it's a platforming game, but there's a lot of like collecting things and building things. Like, again, it's a fun game.
But yeah, as for me, it's pretty much just picking up Wipeout and picking up the game. But I've been pretty busy with other stuff.
Nice.
But, yeah, I'm hoping to get to it as soon as I can, though. Especially Wipeout, because I did have a lot of fun with that back on the N64. Nice.
That sounds way better than the game I played.
I
decided to torture myself by trying E.T. the Extraterrestrial for Atari.
Oh, what's wrong with that? That game's good.
Oh,
it is truly bad.
No, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
come on.
It's on the. I posted an article on the website this week. You know, the Internet Archive.
Yeah.
They've started archiving games, and they're using kind of a spin-off of MAME to emulate these games online.
Okay.
So you can play them right there in your browser. Then they've selected several notable ones. So Pac-Man's there, and E.T. due to its historical significance of, you know, being crap. But it is a truly awful game.
It's not that bad. Like, well, did you
no,
not
it's
know how
pretty
to play
bad.
It?
I started chasing some kid, Some kids showed up on a screen, so I started chasing them. By the way, they provide literally no instructions. Right. Not even controls. So I'm mashing my keyboard, and I'm like, okay, arrow keys, and then control makes ET fly for some reason. I end up chasing some kid, and then a cop starts chasing me. And then what I think...
Right. So yeah. Regular day for Jason.
And what I think are rocks in this one screen are in fact pits.
Yes.
So I fall into the pit.
Yep.
Can't get out.
Hey, kid.
Mash it. I couldn't at first. I realized, okay. Hit control. ET flies up for some reason.
Yeah.
So I fly out, but it doesn't actually let me out of the hole. I get to the top, and the cop's just standing there, and he just knocks me back out. I repeated this about 6 times. I was like, screw this. Let's give shit.
Wow. Wow. So you just didn't know how to play it, is what you're saying.
No, it's just bad.
Oh, God, no. No.
I'm going to give another try. When I hate myself again.
When I hate myself again. Yeah. I was going to ask you if you picked up the cartridge from the alleged burial in New Mexico.
Burial ground? No,
alleged.
Alleged. I sadly did not make it down to New Mexico this past weekend.
It's a little warm.
What?
It's a little warm.
What were you doing, Jason?
Losing facial hair.
Wow, everyone's down in New Mexico. Oh, yeah. So you want to talk about that?
What, my beard?
How are you doing? Yeah.
It's like weird.
Just your baby bottom.
Just
face.
So you know, we do have a T-shirt commemorating the shaving of the beard. It is available.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, check out $25 Eric's, Twitter stream.
All proceeds go to Jason growing his beard.
Yeah, so I shaved it off today because I haven't shaved my beard in 4 or 5 years. And it's Halloween tomorrow, so this is my costume.
Jason from high school?
Beardless Jason.
Oh, no, I saw your high school photo. Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't even look like you.
I had more hair in high school. I know, it's awesome.
Oh, it's crazy.
I had hair down past my shoulders. Massive beard. But yeah, so it's gone. And I miss it.
What prompted you to just shave it off?
One, I wanted to see what it looked like. Two, it's Halloween tomorrow, and be a funny way to win the costume contest at my work.
Beardless Jason.
Beardless Jason. Grand prize.
Watch out! It's a monster!
Let me take care of this.
Speaking of grand prizes...
There you go.
Nice.
We've got a listener email.
Oh?
Yes. This is from Jake, Neo Jake McClanahan? I'm butchering your last name, Jake. It's McClanahan or McLeanahan. McLeahan?
McClanahan?
McClanahan? Anyway, Neo Jake writes, gentlemen, well, here I go with a third question, or maybe fourth. Hunter mentioned the arcade cabinet for Pigskin Football, and it got me thinking. I don't own any arcade cabinets, and probably never will, sadly, but I have a couple in mind that I'd love to have. Mind you, I'm not talking about the standards like Donkey Kong, Pac-Man, etc. I'm thinking a bit off-center and maybe even a little more modern. Two machines that come to mind are Tekken 3 and NFL Blitz. Both of them took up a lot of my time in college. Not to mention a lot of them took up my money. So, I want to know this. Are there any arcade cabinets that you want to own that aren't the typical ones from the 80s that everyone wants? Thanks again, Jake.
Arcade cabinets. Offbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
That'd be sweet.
And the reason I say, I mean, I enjoy the game. I enjoyed the Genesis port. I really enjoyed the arcade. But the arcade that was open near me when I was growing up, every Christmas time they would start selling the arcades off. And the one that I came that close to convincing my mom to buy for me was Michael Jackson's Moonwalker, because it was like $200 because like the monitor was shot and the cabinet was all messed up. And like she, yeah, like she seriously considered it for like a good week and a half. Because I was like, look, here's the plan. I'll make a deal with you. You get this for me for Christmas. No birthday present next year. No Christmas present the year for that one either. And then we'll start clean after that. I was like 8 years old, 9 years old, bargaining with my mother, trying to get her to buy me this arcade cabinet. And I remember because like they had all of them, like Mortal Kombat 2, they had Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo Championship Edition, Ultra, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Foxtrot, you know, all of those. And they were like $2,000 and $3,000 and $4,000, you know. And would I have rather had Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition? Of course. But settling for Michael Jackson's Moonwalker for like $300, I'd be a happy camper. So I still think about purchasing that if I ever saw it again.
I'd impulse buy that in a second for $300. Yeah. $300. It's pretty good, especially for an arcade cabinet.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
What about you, Andrew?
Well, I've pasted a link into it into the... No, okay, well, I was going to paste into the YouTube comments, but it won't let me put in links. I have chosen... What's the name of it?
Oh, man, I'm going to have to look it up now.
Cho Chabudai Geishi.
What?
Which is a Japanese table flipping game.
Whoa.
So, basically, this arcade machine has a giant table peripheral like attached to it. And the whatever's going on the screen, I can't read it because it's Japanese. Oh, hey, just Eric.
Huh?
Jason's died.
Dead? That's all right. Dead. Keep going. Wait. So what's it called again? Cho...
Now I have to go back to the Google Doc because I can't remember.
Cho
Chabudai Geishi.
Chabudai Geishi?
Yeah, Gaeshi. I'll put it into the... I think I can put the name to you.
All right, continue.
So, basically, it's an arcade game and it's got a table. And whatever's going on the screen, you have to hit the table at the right time. And you have to hit the table, and at the very end, you put your hands underneath and flip the table over. And that's it.
So you wanted the table flipping game.
It is a very interesting looking game. Like, it reminds me of, like, there's an arcade game where it's like an arm wrestling game, and there's an actual arm that protrudes out from the cabinet in front of the screen where you actually you see the person that you're arm wrestling, and you actually have an arm to wrestle with. Like, I just don't see what the point of flipping a table. I don't know. Japanese people are weird.
How many times have you actually wanted to just, like, flip a table, but then you're like, oh, no, I'm going to have to clean this all out?
Yeah, but this table's, like, tiny.
I'd love
your main complaint is that you're like, oh, no, this isn't table flippy enough for me. This doesn't give me the adequate amount of table flip that I'm accustomed to. What is this?
Exactly. Flip. Like, I'm talking, like, I want, like, a nice big table with shit on it. So when I do fling it across the room, like, it makes a crash. And this thing just, like, seems like it goes up on its end. And it's such a weird-looking game, Andrew.
I want it.
Such a weird-looking game.
All right, Jason, let's hear yours.
Mine's boring compared. I can't top that. I just wanted Area 51.
Oh, like the light gun?
So, it's the light gun game.
Yeah.
There's a I think the movie theater near where I grew up had a cabinet. I used to play it all the time. So I just want Area 51. Light gun game, shoot aliens.
Area 51 coupled with another game?
Yeah, they usually paired it up with...
Is it Alien versus Predator, or... I'm trying to remember, because Area 51 is coupled with a game at my local arcade. And I can't remember what game it is. Because it's like, you would get like a 2-in-1. True. You know?
Oh, maybe... Maximum Force?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think it's Maximum Force.
And I guess I can speak for Bailey, because I can almost guarantee that he'd want to play Choice 10. So
yeah, you would.
We can just move on from there. Okay. But no, I mean, Area 51, I played a lot of that game, especially trying to get shooting all of the victims at the very beginning so you could turn into the alien.
You could do that?
Yeah!
That was a thing?
What? Hold on.
Now I need to buy the cabinet.
See, now you need to get it. But I liked it. I think one of the things I really liked about Area 51 the most was because it was using full motion video, like Lethal Enforcers and Mad Dog McCree and stuff like that. You need to bring that back.
I need to buy an arcade cabinet.
Okay. Let's see if I can find a video of the... Yeah, it plays an alien. Awesome. And I think like what you do is you shoot all of the victims. Because like one of the victims is hard to shoot at the very beginning. Because like she's in and out, so you got to be sneaky to shoot her right in the forehead.
Yeah.
Video games.
Video games.
Yeah, Area 51, that's a good choice, man.
Nice. Alright. Alright.
Not Andrew's choice. Andrew's is...
No, I like Andrew's.
Oh, you would.
I'd buy that in a heartbeat.
Every single person would be like, oh, I want to try the table flipping game. That's mine.
It's awful.
No, I want it. Let's...
I just don't see what the appeal is. Like, if all you're doing is flipping a table, like, how is the game even played? Like, how do you keep score?
You play like this.
No. I understand.
Sorry,
that.
Did you want me to do that again in slow-mo?
Yeah, slow-mo me.
And then, like, that, like, once or twice.
And then you
maybe?
Flip. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Okay. So weird.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they ported it. It's on iPhone and Android.
Is it really?
Oh, shit. Is it on Play Store?
I don't know. I'm loading some random page from the internet. It's taking forever.
This is going to, like, take all my contacts, isn't it? And then just like, probably. Spam them with horrible things. I'm going to put that away for now.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should move on to our musical break. But I don't know who our musical guest is, so it's a surprise.
Surprise musical break.
Welcome back to the One More Podcast. That was our awesome retro song. And I'm sure glad you liked listening to it. That brings us to the best part of our podcast, the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For those who don't know, each of us bring a game, we pair them off, we argue about them, and it's up to you, the listener, decide which game gets your vote. Now, tonight's theme is Halloween games. Did everyone bring a Halloween game?
Yes, I did bring a Halloween game. I promise.
All right. Well, I guess I'll start.
Sweet.
And as our official timekeeper, I'm going to put a minute on the clock, and you'll never know if I go over.
Damn it.
My game this week is the 1984 horror classic based on the horror movie classic, The Evil Dead. That's right, it's The Evil Dead for the Commodore 64. Taking place in the cabin from the Evil Dead film, the player controls Ash, the main protagonist from the film, and you must close cabin windows to prevent monsters from entering while also killing any monster already in the cabin. As the player defeats monsters with various weapons, whether that be shovels, shotguns, or axes, Ash's energy level decreases. You must continuously pick up new weapons in order to increase your energy. Once you've defeated all the monsters, you obtain the Book of the Dead and destroy it in order to defeat evil. And that's The Evil Dead for the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. Classic Jason. Classic Jason.
Yep. Classic Jason. All right. Are you ready, Hunter?
Yes.
You may begin.
My pick for this week's Halloween Retro Showdown, I went with a game that I've always been fond of, Dr. Chaos for the NES. Known as Dr. Chaos Hell's Gate in Japan, you play as Michael Chaos, brother to the mad scientist Dr. Gwyn Chaos, who was doing warp zone experiments in his home and has gone missing. Armed with only a knife, you move through the mansion, finding new weapons and unlocking new areas. There are 11 warp zones to traverse, defeating bosses at the end of each and collecting vital parts to resurrect a giant laser to destroy the final boss. Dr. Chaos is a split-genre game using both point-and-click gaming aspects coupled with your common beat-em-up platforming. Throughout the house are spooky bats and rats, along with some ghosts that come out and attack you if you stay in a single room too long. Dr. Chaos for the NES.
All right.
Andrew, are you ready?
I am prepared.
You may begin.
The real reason why I'm taking shelter out in my cardboard hideout is because I have been so scared of the game I brought out tonight. I decided to set up shop as far as I could from civilization and its plans for space exploration. Will cause me to drop 3 pine cones in my pants and abandon my life of societally assisted leisure? System Shock 2. This 1999 horror game sequel to the popular System Shock puts you in the shoes of an amnesiac character who you define through updating tech, psi, or combat abilities. Your character awakens from a cryogenic sleep on a spaceship after most humans had either been killed or zombified by a parasitic alien species. The game features a gripping storyline, return of the Shodan AI, and game systems that would go on to inspire some of the best modern games. System Shock 2 is terrifying, runs beautifully on modern machines, and is the pick for the week's best game. Also, you get attacked by a zombie monkey in the first 30 minutes. System Shock 2, done.
It's true.
You get attacked, by a zombie
there
monkey?
There are a number of zombie monkeys.
The monkey came out of the door, and I'm like, oh, a monkey. It's such a little polygon monkey. And then my health starts getting taken out. I'm like, oh, shit. So I start hitting it with the wrench, and it died.
So it's a monkey beating simulator.
Yeah.
PETA would be all
over
you.
They're not the ones
you.
That we were talking about at the beginning of this episode.
Wow. Oh, man. I did not come prepared.
Sure you did. System Shock 2 sucks.
Well, it hasn't aged well, I'll say that, but that's got nothing to do with... But, I mean, it does have zombie monkeys.
Do you mean it hasn't aged well mechanically, or...?
Visually.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
No, it's kind of a step down, in my opinion. It's a step down from the GoldenEye 007 graphics.
Really?
But you can run it at 1080p.
I've been running at 1440p.
1440? Yeah, that's more P's than I have.
All the P's.
I want all the P's.
Now, I think what everyone's really interested in is what exactly does Dr. Chaos have a doctorate in? And it just can't be chaos.
No, it's the science that deals with warp
Jeff
zones
Goldblum.
And whistles and creating the warp zones with the whistles.
Are there actually
so are we
physics?
Like...
So there's actually are there actually whistles in this game?
No, I was.
Was that
was
a Mario
relaying
reference?
Back to yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Damn it. Well, Jason, I can't say about your game as boring and as mundane the gameplay looks. The fact that it runs on a cassette tape, that's pretty cool.
That's some good that's some good old fashioned game media.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because I think just the idea of having the closed doors or windows rather and constantly running out of energy, like those are like especially the energy part. It seems like it's a cheap shot as a gaming aspect. You know what I mean? Like every time you walk you lose some energy. Come on. Really?
It's designed to make you panic.
Well, you need some creepy music then. That creates panic.
That just sounds like it'd be frustrating. I mean, like when your Pokemon were poisoned in Red and Blue, and like every single step you took, you were just like, ow, 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 ow.
That
wasn't
the worst.
Scary. That was just like, ugh.
Man, this game looks good.
Which
it's
one?
Frustrating.
System Shock.
I know. I don't.
You got so many. Well, it's on the Dreamcast,
Steam.
Too.
They got cheap.
So.
No.
Well,
of course,
I mean,
that's the preferable option.
Let's see how it compares. Obviously, it's not going to look as good as the PC port, especially if you're running it 720p.
I wrote an article for the website. It lists a bunch of mods. It'll let you have high-res textures. And actually, there's another one that replaces the character models with updated character models, and it looks really good. So if the graphics are holding you back, it's
but
all
even,
those.
Even if you're just playing it vanilla, you can still get 1080p out of it. And it's like super crystal clear, except for the cutscenes, which look like you're playing a potato, like mashed potatoes.
That's
they just
confusing.
They just smeared mashed potatoes on a camera.
That's confusing. Doesn't.
Okay, so Dr. Chaos, it's a side scroller.
Yes.
Kind of an action side scroller. You're punching bats and whatnot. I'm looking at a video now.
Uh-huh.
There's scenes where you have, it looks like a little cursor.
Yes.
And
yes.
You're opening doors and...
Uh-huh.
It's from a first-person view.
Yeah,
almost.
So it's like a multi-genre game. So you have your... What's... Whoa, what? You don't... Go on.
So it's like Mario Party.
No. I don't think it's anything like Mario Party. Anyway. So,
kind of multiple
so the way here's how it works. All right, so you go into the mansion, side scrolling. You're stabbing bats and rats and little creatures that appear out of the night, and then you can go in the doors. Now, when you go into the doors, now you're in the first person perspective. So you have like a little cursor hand, and you can actions, yeah, plural, where you can open things or you can take things or you can. You know, go through holes, you can punch things. So there's to get to some of the warp zones that you have to get to, you actually have to punch a hole in the wall and then go through the hole in the wall, and that's where the warp zone is.
How do you know where to punch?
You don't, and that's the fun part about it, because if you stay
stay
in a room too long looking for something, you get attacked by like a demon specter ghost like
Is there a chicken? Is there a chicken in the one of the walls? Like a cooked chicken?
No. This is not Castlevania.
No.
No.
I was just thinking, you know,
now,
random thing.
Right.
Now, when you're punching holes in walls, are you actually going to some warp gate, or are you just punching a hole to the next room and walking through?
Well, it depends. So, like, sometimes when you punch a hole in the wall, you'll find, like, an item, like a grenade or a handgun... Or health. Or you might find a ladder where you can use the ladder to go down a floor or up a floor that you couldn't previously get to by the side-scrolling platforming portion. And you might have to exit out of that to go back to the platforming to enter another door to hit another wall to go down another ladder to enter another warp zone.
What kind of poorly constructed house is this?
It's the best poorly constructed house ever. It's on par with the mansion in Resident Evil. I mean, come on.
So there's no stairs?
Yeah, there's stairs. This game. Yes, there is. But sections of the house are bricked off.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you just like ruin your hands punching through the bricks?
Well, you don't ruin your hands. I mean, it's, you guys are acting like this is bad. Is this bad? None of this sounds bad to me. This all sounds great and amazing.
It sounds pretty bad.
Really?
It sounds like the tedium of a point and click.
Ah, so okay.
Mixed Hold with on. A
Let's okay. talk about the tedium of the point and click. So, this was before the ports of like Uninvited and Deja Vu and Shadowgate for the NES. Whereas before, you'd have to, you know, drag the cursor down, click open, drag it up to what you want to open. So it was actually, in terms of controls, it was very intuitive. If you wanted to switch through the different actions, since there was only four or five, you would hold select and hit B. And that would cycle through the action. So you could stay on whatever you wanted to open or punch or grab or go or anything like that. Hold down select, hit B a couple of times, get to the action you want, and bada bing, bada boom, done. Very intuitive for an NES game. Dr. Chaos. See, you don't need a Dr. bunch of Chaos. Fancy post-apocalyptic, cyberpunk, you know, 2111. All of a sudden, there's zombies. I'm walking around with a wrench. You don't need that stuff. You don't need that.
Oh, no, that's just...
You just got to get back to the basics where you just punch holes in walls and go to...
Yeah, do you know how happy I would be if I could punch a hole in my wall and find a handgun or a grenade? I would be ecstatic. Absolutely ecstatic.
What's step two?
Wait, what?
What happens after that?
Then I can use it.
What happens when you find
it? You've got a hole in your wall.
I could punch another hole in my wall. Maybe find a ladder to a secret area that I wasn't able to go before because part of my house is walled up and it's the only way I can get there. Then I can go through a warp zone. I can end outside in the jungle. Man, you don't even know what's going on.
Your house sounds like it would get structurally completely unstable.
Well, it's not
pretty fast, yeah. Especially if you're pulling out grenades and using them.
Oh yeah, if you're
well,
tossing
my house,
there, that's gonna ruin your foundations.
Yeah, it's not my house.
Oh, I'm somebody sorry. Well, that's fine then.
So you're just going to someone's house and punching holes in their wall,
hey,
looking for
Eric,
their hidden.
I'm just, you know, if I got to get this laser back together, and I got to find all the pieces by going through these warp zones, it's gonna happen. I'm gonna punch holes in the wall.
Why did they separate all the pieces? Because
he was a mad scientist,
like,
man. He doesn't have time for logic and proper house building engineering. That's what I was looking for. Construction, that's the word. Damn it.
So he's saying he's a scientist, but he doesn't have time for logic or engineering.
Yes, thank you. That's exactly right. And see, now here's the thing. Because you go in, because you're, as his brother, who's now, so the doctor, Chaos, is now missing, the mad scientist. So you, Michael, his brother, go in to find him. I mean, before he got lost, he could have been working on fixing the house. But then, you know, you zip through a warp zone and get captured by a giant, squishy skeleton frog thing. And, you know, you got to put that stuff on hold. Just got to put it on hold.
All right. Just got to put it on hold. Now, Andrew.
Yes.
How would you respond to me saying System Shock 2
yeah.
is 1999's
Ooh.
Poor man's Deus Ex?
With a much worse UI. So ugly and cluttered.
Yes.
I wouldn't say so.
Oh,
no.
Good.
No.
Good. You know why? Because before you look it up, apparently, Deus Ex came out in 2000, so System Shock.
So that last 50 seconds was worthless.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Yeah.
That wrapped up pretty nicely.
Well, that was my best try to take down System Shock 2.
I just think, like, when you go to making a horror game, and it might be because of Resident Evil and how popular it was, but it's like, everybody go straight for zombies. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's not, you know, zombies in a mansion, it's zombies in a city. You know, it's zombies in space. I mean, Jason X is a horrible movie. You know, Dracula 3000 is a horrible movie. You can't take horror and put it in space. It just doesn't make any sense. You can't take zombies and put them in space. It doesn't make any sense. Just can't do it. It's uncreative. Andrew, your game is boring. I would rather play Evil Dead on a Commodore 64 that uses a cassette tape.
They're not technically zombies. I just said they were zombified, but it's more like that they're infected by like this alien parasite.
Hey, you used the Z word, so I went with
it. Yeah, I mean, they kind of sounds... like move a little bit like zombies, but they're more intelligent than zombies, at least from what I've seen.
How so?
Well, zombies kind of like just shamble towards you, and they just have this base instinct of get over here, get over here. I want to do zombie things. But these ones actually have like weapons. They might have like tactics. They'll try to swing at you, and you can kind of outmaneuver them sometimes. And I mean, monkeys. How many times do you see a zombie monkey?
Wow. Oh, it's got the stupid let's hack into the grid mini game. Those games are so dumb. Oh, let's play connect the dots. Yay. Thank you for breaking the gameplay that I was currently enjoying into this shambles of nothing. Oh, the Dreamcast port was canceled. I didn't read that far. Nuts. What the hell did I get?
You own a Dreamcast copy?
I downloaded a Dreamcast copy.
Oh, someone probably ported it over.
That's probably not that good then. Or it's amazing because it's on the Dreamcast.
Are you thinking that it's going to be awesome just because it's going to have some like VMU character or something? That's what you call it, like the screen, right?
Oh, that would be awesome if it did. I'd be so happy. Even like when I download like emulators and stuff, if it doesn't use the VMU, I'm really upset. Like, it's like this is a vital piece of the Dreamcast console that you are not utilizing, and that upsets me quite a bit. Very upsetting. Upsetting.
I wonder if the Dreamcast had actually gone for a full console cycle. I wonder how many people would be using the VMU at the end of the generation, because people started off with the PS3 and they actually had the tilt controls and they're like, oh, got to make a tilt. But right. Like a year in, they're just like, let's not do that anymore because no one likes it.
Well, it'd probably get down to cost. I mean, that VMU was compared to the PlayStation 2 memory cards and an N64 memory card. It was like $20, $25 more just because of that screen. Yeah.
Did you need one per game or something? Or?
No. I mean, it played just like a regular memory card. It had enough space or blocks, as they called them, to save multiple games. But another one of the issues with the Dreamcast was some of the game files were so large, like Phantasy Star Online or Rainbow Six. Like some of those saved game files were so big that you could really only put maybe like 3 games on one VMU.
It's awful. They probably would have come out with just a screenless version eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, it's a neat idea. And especially, like, if you actually have a working VMU unit still. Mm-hmm. There's games that you can unlock. And, like, in Sonic Adventure, you can unlock I think they're called Choo-Choos or Cho-Chos.
Oh, the Chows?
The Chows, yeah. You can unlock a mini game that only plays on the VMU. And you can like pop it out because there's like a D-pad and there's 2 buttons on it. I mean, it's tiny, but, you know.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, you know what else we could do with this thing? Let's put some controls on this bad boy.
It's like getting a free free Tamagotchi game with every $60 game purchase.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And who doesn't love Tamagotchi? Giggy pets or digi pets? Words are crazy. All right. So, Evil Dead, Commodore 64, 1984. When did the movie come out? So, 84? 83, 84? 84, 83?
I don't know. I'll say
84.
81.
Okay, so it was 3 years after the... Oh, wow. It's 3 years after the movie was out.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. I mean, like, I know that the graphics and the hardware was limited, but like they didn't even make the monsters look like monsters. Like they're just there's like discombobulated apostrophes and like exclamation points and question marks, and I could have made a better game in QBasic.
No, in your damn QBasic.
It's gonna happen.
Wish you're gonna bring it back.
If I could find, if
just
I,
like the Dreamcast.
If I could find like an online QBasic editor that I could like build my game online and save it and all that and come back to it, I'd be all over it.
Now I'm just Googling online QBasic editor.
I couldn't find one.
There has to be one.
I looked for like 20 minutes one day when I was bored at work.
So Jason, why did you pick this specific Evil Dead game? Because I imagine there have been more than just one on the Commodore 64.
There have been more. I actually was looking at a version that came out for the PlayStation.
Yeah, a Fistful of Boomstick or something like that.
Let me look it up.
Hail to the King, Fistful of Boomstick, Regeneration, Army of Darkness, Defense, Poker Night 2. Wait, what?
Hail to the King. Came out for PlayStation and the Dreamcast in 2000. But it is on many worst of lists.
Wait, and this one's not?
That's never stopped us in the past.
This was not. So I looked up a different Evil Dead game, and this came up. And it's been a while since I brought a Commodore. Have I brought a Commodore 64 game before?
Tom did. Tom Hall did.
Tom did. See, I haven't brought one yet. So it's my first Commodore 64
nice
game.
Choice.
Looked interesting.
I mean, it looks like the gameplay is compelling.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice, simple, you got 5-10 minutes to spare, sit down, play a couple rounds, and go about what you're doing.
The whole energy thing gets me. Like, why can't you just get a life bar?
They didn't have life bars back in 1983. That concept wasn't thought about yet. No, trust me, I'm a gameologist.
They didn't have the technology for that.
You're a gameologist? No.
I'm a gameologist.
We should probably ask the game historian. He'd probably know.
Someone get him on the line. We'll dial him in.
Which I'm still wanting one of those t-shirts.
So there's one thing about System Shock 2. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Is that...
Is it that it's better than our games?
No, it's because like... Okay, so if you're trying to like manage your inventory, which the UI for changing that is a bit of a headache, where you're just like, oh, I just want to switch to... one thing, it's like that's the real horror game.
That's the real horror of the game. It's managing your inventory.
No, it's like it's such a pain in the butt. And then also like I got the idea where it's like if something's coming towards you and you're like, oh, gotta go around here, gotta change my thing really quickly before that not zombie infected thing comes against me. But it's just like, I don't know. I can imagine myself getting really frustrated with it if I have to play for an extended period of time.
I mean, it seems like just from looking at like short videos and stuff, it looks like they were trying to do something different. Because a lot of the time the inventory was in a completely different screen. You'd have to pause the gameplay and then you'd have to manually move things around, where they try to keep it up top so you could quickly move through. And since you have so many items, I mean, I can kind of see where that would heighten the fright factor, where you're just like, okay, gosh, I gotta do it. I gotta hit this really quick. Oh my god, this thing's right in front of me. But how long does that last compared to how annoying it is? You know, like, which one's gonna weigh it out?
I think that there's definitely a time when it's good to have the game run around if you're in one of those menus. I think it was in Silent Hill 4. Or three, it was in it. But it was in either Silent Hill or a Resident Evil game. It was in a game. It was in a video game.
In some game.
It was in a video game. And I was doing some mini game where I had to like connect some wires in a fuse box. But I was actually interrupted by some monster that was coming towards me. But I expected the game to kind of pause, and the fact that expectation was shattered.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was scary at the time.
I can see that. And I mean, and it came out at a year where, you know, there still wasn't a lot of horror games.
Like,
in the sense that I guess the three of us would consider a horror game. So being able to break that mold before there even was a mold, I mean, that's pretty, it's pretty impressive. Your game still sucks, though, but I mean, it's no Dr. Chaos.
Yeah.
All right, and also, word of warning, if you're going to play this on at full resolution on like 1080p monitor, don't play it on a TV because you're going to be squinting to see all of the one pixel text.
That text does not scale.
Stupid PC games.
It doesn't.
All right, guys. What's your closing arguments?
So, Dr. Chaos, a multi-genre game. Very cool. Build a giant laser. Break walls to find weapons. Can't beat it. Dr. Chaos.
Andrew?
System Shock 2. There's a lot of inventory, a lot of buttons. It's a little annoying sometimes, but hey, zombified monkeys.
Son of a bitch.
All right, The Evil Dead. You shut a lot of windows.
Ba-dum-dum.
All right, I guess that's it for the One More Podcast.
These whatever should be printed it's on boxes. Yeah. They should just be like,
you close a lot of windows.
Five stars.
You close a lot of windows. I'd like to give a shout out to the Retroids Podcast Network, which we're part of, and also to our live listeners. That's Captain Knucklehead, Chronoslinger, Lyrically C, The Retro Critic, Johnny D'Alba, Andrew Carrero, which is you, Eric, or me, both of us, and anyone else I missed way back in that list. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. Do you guys have any shout-outs you want to do?
You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is I Am Eric M, which Friday starts Mega Man Month or Anti-Jason Lamb Month, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
Thanks, Jason.
I'm gonna do a shout-out. My Twitter account is at ArcadeErrorWin. I generally tweet about, I don't know, programming, gaming, Toronto, whatever's going on. Follow if you want. Ring endorsement. And I also like to give a shout out to Ken Levine, who paid me for this podcast.
What?
You bastard. He's the guy who made System Shock. And Bioshock.
And Bioshock, the most recent one.
Yeah. Not the second
one. I'm playing through the third one right now.
That was good. Yeah, good.
Good. Yeah. How far are you? Oh, sorry. I'll do it after.
What did I do? I'm going through this weird time traveling bit where I was supposed to get this guy to make guns for this girl, and then they took his equipment, and then they didn't take his equipment, and now he's dead. And now I'm trying to get back to some airship. I'm a little confused.
Okay, I know we're here.
Yeah.
Because, like, I understand, like, the idea of what it's trying to do, but it's, I'm going back to the Back to the Future, where there's a timeline, and said this is, you know, when you went back to 1986, this branched off and went here. Like, I don't think that exists in this world. Like, I don't think that's how they see time. So I'm struggling with that a little bit. But
yeah. Think of it, I'll just let you play.
Okay.
All right. That's it. That's episode 60. And remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president.
The zombie president.
The zombie president.
See you next week.
See you guys.